the crier of the hillside. Let us remember them. Bob Hillard was the Church of Ireland pastor. From Killarney across the Pyrenees he came. From Derry came a brave young Christian brother. Side by side they fought and died in Spain. And Tommy Woods, aged 17, died in Cordoba. With the DNA he learned to hold a gun. From Dublin to the Via del Rio, where he fought and died beneath the Spanish sun. Viva la quinta brigada, no pasará.
Yeah, there you go. That's the famous Christy Moore song, Viva la Quinta Brigada, in which he references Robert Bob Hillard, who was born in Killarney, of course, of the Hillard family, well known, and a remarkable book tells the story of Robert Hillard, who was a different man at very different times of his life. Lynn Clark wrote about her remarkable grandfather, Robert Hillard, who was, as I said, from Killarney. She's with me on the line. Lynn, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Thank you for having me. You're welcome. Tell me the story. This is a remarkable story of a man who lived many different lives in the one life. And I suppose one of those questions that I know your family have been talking about for years and you explore in the book is, how does, a man from a conservatively-minded factory-owning family in Killarney, a loyalist family, end up being staunchly socialist in his politics, become a Church of Ireland priest, yet fight and die in the Spanish Civil War? This is the story of Robert Bob Hillard, who died in the Spanish Civil War, fighting on the Republican side in the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. A remarkable story of him, his politics, and his providence as a boxer as well. He went to Trinity College in Dublin and features in that line in the Christy Moore song Viva la Quinta Brigada, listing the fallen Irish Brigandist as, with Hillard as the ex Church of Ireland priest as well, which he was for a short time. If you have any comments or views, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. I'm going to try and re-establish that line with Lynn to talk a bit more about this remarkable story. It's the subject of a book, by the way, Swift Blaze of Fire, The Life of Robert Hillard, Olympian, Cleric and Brigadista as well. And he was boxing in the Olympics as well in 1924 in Paris. I think we have Lynn back on the line. Lynn, good morning to you. You can hear
me
now, okay?
I don't know what went wrong there, but it's good to be back.
Technology. Sometimes it can go haywire on us. Lynn, tell me, this is a remarkable story of a kind of a remarkable man, a man of contradictions.
Absolutely. And I think some of those contradictions began in his childhood in Kerry. He started life, as you know, the eldest child of his father, was also called Robert Hillard. And the family was very much up and coming in Killarney. They were Killarney's largest employers, and they fought hard for their social position. And Robert, in many ways, had an idyllic childhood, running around the countryside with his sister Moll. He went to national school until he was packed off to boarding school. But his father put enormous pressure on him to succeed, to be a good person. His father was a very moral, upright figure, or regarded himself as such. And young Robert always wanted very badly to please his father. And he was coached in Latin and Greek from an early age, and eventually sent off to boarding school in Cork, where he was supposed to find his way to a degree course at Trinity College eventually, and to become a professional, perhaps a clergyman, and bring honour to the family. That was the idea, but it didn't go according to plan.
No, certainly not. I mean, he would have been aware of what was happening, as he was a schoolboy in a dormitory in Cork. The city was rocked by, of course, strikes, massive street demonstrations, street battles, I suppose, in 1917. The IRA opened up the school officer training corps army to steal its weapons. So he was in an Ireland that was changing, and it had an impact on him.
It did. And he used to talk about this to his wife later on. He was, I think, in some ways, perhaps traumatized by it. I mean, even though he was shut up inside the boarding school, as you say, they were not immune to what was happening outside. They could hear things, they could see things. And at one point, the conflict broke into the school when all the arms were stolen. And the effect that it had on him, I think testimony to that is that he emerged from his school days in Cork and then later in Dublin, a very ardent Irish nationalist, and soon made that very clear at Trinity College, and an anti-imperialist. And this later, I think, when he later met his wife, meant that he would become a socialist as well, and very much a man of the left, and a man who wanted to change the world. You know, a man who wanted to do good in the world, in his own phrase.
He ended up in Belfast. Tell me about that period where he went to England, he came back, he went into the priesthood, he was in Belfast for a while, but then left all that.
Well, there's a bit of a story there. You mentioned in your introduction that he'd been an Olympic boxer. He's one of the first ever Olympic boxers for Ireland. And in fact, on the way back from attending the Olympic Games in Paris in 1924, he'd pitched a tent in the garden of his wife's family and been discovered there in the morning. And this began his courtship of Rosemary, his English wife. And unfortunately, they had to get married when she fell pregnant. And the marriage did not go well for the first 3 years. 3 years later, as a journalist in London, he was drinking too much. The full story of what he did and the bad things he did is in the book. But, you know, this book is not a hagiography. It doesn't glorify him. But he had this moment of epiphany on a bus in London where he... It's like he believed that it was like the revelation that came to St. Paul. He suddenly saw light shining from the faces of the other passengers, and he believed he'd been called to the Church of Ireland priesthood. And he returned to Ireland, he studied at Trinity, he studied divinity, and was eventually sent off to a part-time post as a deacon outside Belfast in Derriachie near Lisburn. And then later on, he got a full-time post at St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. Okay. He worked in a mission, and he dealt with desperately impoverished parishioners, and took this very seriously.
And that would have informed, I suppose, his socialist tendencies.
Their life easier and better, as well as to you know, bring them to God, as he was deeply religious at that time.
Lynn, stay with me on the line. We're going to talk more. Lynn, just stay with me on the line. We're going to talk more about this and more about his story. We'll get to that after we take these. Yeah, we're talking with Lynn Clark on the remarkable story of Robert Hillard, Robert Bob Hillard, who died fighting in the Spanish Civil War. And Lynn, we've talked about him becoming a priest and working in Belfast. But then, was it in 1934 or 35, he left his wife and children. He went to London, worked in journalism, joined the Communist Party, and he would have been here at a time of the rise of fascism. And how did that influence him then?
He certainly was. And we know that he was repelled by fascism, because one of the first things he did when he left his wife and children to go to London was to join the Communist Party and become, as people in the Communist Party then were, very active in marching against the fascists who were gathering the black shirts in London. So he would have absolutely abhorred the rise of the blue shirts in Ireland. He left his family after a disastrous decline into terrible debt. And if I might just quickly say there that this was inevitable, really, because he was very poorly paid, unfortunately, as a priest. He only was given £25 a year. I mean, you can't support a sick wife and four children on £25 a year.
Yeah.
So he had the creditors banging on the door, and he really had to leave Ireland. And I think he felt very much that he needed to redeem himself when he got to London. And he, as you say, joined the Communist Party. And this would have been early 1934. He arrived in London. Early 1935, get the right year there. And in 1936, there was this very important march in London by the Black Shirts. They tried to enter Whitechapel, and there was an enormous battle at Cable Street, which I think is quite well known internationally now, because it was a very important moment when people came out together and stopped the Black Shirts in the street. And that would have been very much something that Robert felt needed to be done, both in Ireland and in the UK.
Yeah. And then on February 37, he went in 37, I should say, to fight in the Spanish, or 36 actually, December 36, he joined the International Brigades in the Spanish Civil War, and he fought there until his death. They were deployed in fierce fighting, I think, in 37, February 37, was that what it was?
That's right, yes, you're right. He went to Spain in December 1936 and joined the so-called British Battalion, but in fact, as we know, it had a very large number of Irish members, and some of them had fought very valiantly in other parts of Spain and brought this very considerable military experience to the battalion. So Robert met these men when he arrived there. And sadly, his life was then very short. He was killed on February. He received a fatal wound on the 14th of February 1937, and he died 3 days. He was transported to a hospital in Castellón on the east coast of Spain, and he died there.
Lynn, what was the reaction of his family in Killarney to his socialism, his decisions in his life, and then on his death?
The family loved their son very dearly, and his father supported him, had to support him financially until his father's death. And then the family they'd fallen on rather harder times, and they could no longer afford to do that. And they were shocked. They were very shocked when he left his wife. I don't think they ever understood all the very many pressures on him and on the marriage. Things had gone disastrously wrong for Robert in many ways. He'd become very disillusioned with the Church of Ireland, we have to say. The time that we're talking of when he was in Belfast, and he's known to have, you know, taken bags of coal to the poor and to have been very much on the side of his, as I was saying, his poor parishioners. But it was a time that was marked by these remarkable demonstrations of the Belfast poor, the outdoor relief protests, which were cross-sectarian. You know, Protestants and Catholics were marching in the street together and supporting each other. And the church came down very heavily against these, which would have been incredibly disillusioning for Robert.
Yeah. They sided with the wealthy, with the people in control.
All the churches did, to be honest. They all did. Yeah. And this was a man who wanted to reform the Church of Ireland. He had dreams of, you know, turning it into something much more radical. And I think if he hadn't realised before, he realised at this point that any change in the church was only going to come on the church's terms, and that he was not going to be able to do this thing. And he also, he'd been a member of the Oxford Group, and he became very disillusioned with the Oxford Group, so that was another factor.
Yeah. Lynn, it's a remarkable story and a remarkable book. Thanks so much for telling us a part of it on the programme this morning.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for a very enjoyable interview. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Lynn Clark there, the author of Swift Blaze of Fire, the story of the life of Robert Hillard, Olympian cleric and Brigadista as well. A remarkable story there, told by Lynn. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme on the story this morning. If you knew it already, that's Lynn, of course, the granddaughter of Robert Hillard, who was from Killarney and died fighting in the Spanish Civil War.